And speaking of great books, we are joined now in the studio by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library for another round of Talking Books. How are you?
I am well, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Happy early Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Oh,
Schmalentine's
Day. You're one of those.
Day.
All right.
It's a Hallmark holiday.
It is a Hallmark
humbug.
Holiday.
Every day should be Valentine's Day with the one you love.
Oh, that's good. Oh, you started unsentimental and then went all the way around to sappy. I get it. We're not going to do anything on Valentine's Day itself because that's the day that everyone goes out and does something. The trick is to plan something really nice and romantic for like the days around Valentine's Day because no one goes to restaurants on the 15th. It's fantastic.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, if you are a fan of the show Parks and Recreation, you know today is Galentine's Day.
Yes. Yeah.
I've
got a really good friend whose last name is Galentine. He loves this
That's
day.
Awesome.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
I love it.
Cool. So, what's going on in the library?
Well, Aaron, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I don't know what's happening at the library.
Oh, that's because you've been at the School of Government all day.
I'm in this program, Municipal and County Government Administration. I know how interesting and sexy that sounds.
MCGA. Yeah, it's great.
it's a really great program. So it is 4 days a month for like 8 months or something.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like a mini MPA in the course of a year. People from all over the state, there's 100 of us, sort of department heads, folks at that level. And it really is like today we learned about environmental law and local government. We learned about succession planning and about school funding. It's just all of this packed in.
There is so much to know.
It is complex systems,
yeah.
And everything is different depending on if you're a county or a city or a council manager or a mayor or whatever form of government. So this week is one of my weeks there, and the only reason that I'm able to go and do things like this and or take on things like arts and culture is because I have an amazing staff at the library. So my staff is awesome. I loved hearing Deb Stroman in the previous show talking about Peter Drucker and organizational culture beats strategy and all of that, and I just have an awesome team. We've created a great culture, so kudos to my staff for running the joint when I can't be there.
Nice.
But I do follow them on Facebook. So
of
I do
course.
Know some things that are happening. And one thing.
It's the only way. Thank God for social media.
One thing that is happening right now, speaking of Valentine's Day, is the thing we do every year, and people just love it, is our blind date with a book display.
Okay.
Pardon me. So if you go into the library now, we have two display racks, and there's always themed displays. They're super fun, really popular. One of them right now is called Blind Date with a Book. So our staff chooses books, and they actually wrap them up
in
like brown paper, and then they say, like, you know, for fans of Games of Thrones, or if you like thrillers and strong female leads and blah, blah, blah. And so the idea is people will kind of take a leap, take this book and unwrap it when they get home. It's really fun and it's really popular. And lots of people have been posting about like, thanks for this great book that I didn't know about. And sometimes people say, I got it home and I unwrapped a book that I love, which is disappointing in some ways, but it's also like, we matched you with the perfect book.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's
That's
a fun
cool.
little Valentine that we give to our readers.
Are they all fictional books? Are there some nonfiction?
What's don't know.
The,
it's
don't
everything.
Know. Okay, it's everything.
It's a
all right.
total mix of things.
Nice.
Yes.
That's really cool. I love
that. It's
really
fun. Yeah.
And that's the really cool thing, I think, because people will go to the library or go to the bookstore. Whenever I go to the library or the bookstore, I gravitate towards certain sections where I know that I'm going to find something that I like, but there's so many other sections of the bookstore or the library that also have amazing things that you just never find because you don't go there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I actually recently, it was in the last year, there's a great piece somebody wrote for the New Yorker or the New York Review or one of those New York type magazines. It was like an ode. It was a love letter to the recently returned cart, and they talked about how at the library, they always go there to kind of see what other people have been reading, and what's just come back, and it like kind of gives you a finger on the pulse of what your town is reading. It was a lovely piece, and that's cool. Also one of those places that people stop and browse.
Well, let's recommend some books. What are we talking about today? Valentine's Day, right?
So our prompt.
That's our prompt. Yes.
And sometimes people give spoiler warnings, right? I'm not going to give a spoiler warning. I'm just going to give a soapbox warning.
Okay.
Because I'm going to get on my soapbox.
That's fun.
About the genre of romance, and I'm just giving you a warning.
Okay.
Because that's all I'm going to talk about is romance novels for Valentine's Day.
Is that is the soapbox like people
poo-pooing, people dissing romance novels
and either
people that don't read them kind of brushing them off, or people that do read them sort of apologizing for reading them and sort of talking about them as their guilty pleasure or their trashy books or whatever. We in the public library world say, pshaw with all of that. Don't judge others' reading. Don't judge your own.
Yeah.
That's just nonsense. And people should be able to read what they want to read and be proud of it and have lots of options and lots of choices.
There are a lot of genres that have gone through that, and I think sci-fi and fantasy are two of them. And I think YA novels, young adult novels, are another one where back in the day, they were considered just kind of trashy genre stuff, and now it's gotten to be such a central thing in the zeitgeist that, you know, people embrace sci-fi and fantasy and young adult, and like people who would never have once upon a time touched a fantasy novel are now having viewing parties for Game of Thrones
or all
of these things. And romance is next. Like, I think romance is still in that kind of...
I hope it's next.
Yeah.
I feel like, because, yes, sci-fi, fantasy, even horror, graphic novels,
YA, graphic novels, totally.
Wear that badge and say, yes, I read these things. Romance isn't there yet. I hope that it gets there, but it's still kind of seen as this sort of, you know, trashy, guilty pleasure reading.
I think part of what we need is an algorithm, because I got on the Googles earlier this hour in preparation for this, or earlier yesterday, because we spend so much time preparing for this. I totally did not do this 12 minutes ago, and did a Google search for best literary romances. And Google's really good at coming up with, like, they give you your search results, but if you look for certain things, right up top will be a list because they know what you're looking for, and Google, when you look for best literary romances, gives you, okay, here are some of the best romance novels. Number one, Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen classic. Number two, Sense and Sensibility, Jane Austen classic. Number three is Atlas Shrugged, which I'm not 100% sure. I understand that there's a romance in the book, but...
Yeah. Questionable. Questionable.
Top six on the list, four of them are Jane Austen novels. So.
I love Jane Austen.
She's great.
And
yeah.
She has inspired many, what do you call them, pastiches or kind of follow-ups. But there is so much more to romance fiction and all of that. So I am loaded for bear.
All right, cool.
So do you want me to start?
Go for it.
Okay.
Get on that soapbox.
Okay. So, and so before I get to a book, I'm going to continue on my soapbox here. Buckle up, people. Here we go. So, the thing about romance is it's actually closer in sort of appeal. Like, we talk about the appeal of books. So the appeal factors for romance novels are actually really similar to thrillers and to horror, which is kind of weird, right? But if you think about why people read, romance and horror and thrillers all are sort of emotional reads. Like, you feel scared, you feel swept up, your heart is pounding or your heart is pining.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing to think about, the sort of experiential aspect of reading. So you know that, and the other thing about romance, that while it sort of takes you on that roller coaster, you know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Romance is defined by a happy ending. So there's a comfort to it, too. So it's really interesting to think about why people read romance.
Okay. As opposed to, like, the sci-fi genre, which is more cerebral. Is
yes,
that the,
yeah, you
yeah,
got
okay,
it.
I get
like,
that.
Like, that's
yeah.
kind of thinking about yep, what yep. if and all of that. So I'm going to recommend two nonfiction books that are about romance. And we had a discussion before we started about what words you can and can't say. Apparently, I can say this word, but I'm not going to say it.
All right, fine.
So this is a book called Beyond Heaving Bosoms, The Smart, I'm going to say, Witch's Guide to Romance Novels.
Yes.
So this is by Sarah Wendell and Candy Tan, who are the fabulous founders of a great website called Smart Witches Trashy Books.
But that's not the website.
That's not the website. But I feel like I'm just not going there.
It's smartbitchestrashybooks.com,
y'all.
You
can go there.
Yeah. That's the name of the website. You
that's
can
right.
say the name of the website.
That's right.
Also, Meredith Brooks had a great song in the 90s, so she opened up the field to
there
be able
go.
To say that word.
There you go.
Smartbitchestrashybooks.com.
I feel like it was said on TV in Dallas, wasn't it?
Oh,
maybe?
Almost certainly.
Okay.
If it wasn't, it was hanging. It was in the aura.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
There were a lot of witches on Dallas.
Yes, 100%.
So anyways.
Yeah.
The website is a really great entree into the world of romance. If you are a current romance reader, you'll find lots of great new and diverse titles. And then this book is a sort of summary of that website. It's a really great book. And then the other nonfiction book that I want to recommend is called Dangerous Books for Girls, The Bad Reputation of Romance Novels. And it's by Maya Rodale. And this is a little bit more of a sort of research book where she looks at data about publishing and why people read and the marketing of romance novels and all of that. And it's sort of an overview of how romance novels have gotten the bad rap that
interesting.
They
okay.
have. It's a really interesting book.
Yeah.
So those are
cool.
two nonfiction books about romance
that
novels.
That sounds like a really good companion piece too, and I'm gonna blank on title and author, but we had him on the air. He had the book about the 70s and 80s horror novels.
Yes, Grady Hendrix,
yes,
and Paperbacks
yeah.
from Hell.
Paperbacks from Hell, yeah.
Yeah. See, I can say hell on the show, but I can't say the B word. I don't know what's going on here.
It used to be that hell was the absolute worst
right.
word to say. Things have changed, y'all.
So those are my two nonfiction books. What do you have?
I feel now a little bit bad because, so first of all, I was like just sort of running in my head through the list of all of my favorite novels. And okay, what are the ones that have great romances? And there ain't none. Like my top five or like even my top 10 doesn't really have much in the way of romance. Like Catch 22, like Nately has a relationship and that's about it as far as, and it's a 500-page book. So I don't go in for great books with great romances, apparently. But I do have a couple that I do really like, and I feel bad because one of your criteria is that the romance has to have a happy ending, and I don't think either of mine do.
Well, so then they have romantic plot lines, but
yes.
they may not be romance novels.
Okay,
go
gotcha, gotcha. Okay, so young adult, great romance, David Levithan, Every Day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's a great book.
That's a great book.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just a fascinating romance about the kid who wakes up in a different body every day, and then he meets someone and falls in love with her, and she falls in love with them because they're not really a gender attached because he wakes up in a different body every day. We meet them the first time when they're a guy, so that you get that in your head, but he's not really a gendered character. But then they have to like make this relationship work as he's flipping from one body to the other. They have to re-find each other every day. And it's a fascinating story. And it's got an ambiguous ending, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the story continues, but it's not like a definitive ending. And it's just, it's such a That's an emotional roller coaster.
Absolutely.
Right? Like that grabs you.
And I
yeah.
feel like that was that made into a
that
movie?
That was made into a movie. I haven't seen the movie.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Okay.
It came out and got kind of mediocre reviews, and I was like,
yeah.
okay, that's fine. But the
Probably
book is fantastic.
A hard book to translate onto
the big
screen.
I would imagine so. Yeah, well, I mean, the book, the main character is the kid who switches bodies. When you make that into a movie, you've got to make the girl the main character, right? Because
right?
she's played by one actress the whole
right.
way through. So it's a complete just flip on the focus of the story.
Okay. That's a good one. And
yeah.
did you see where they're making a movie version of Catch-22 with George Clooney?
Yeah, it's a Hulu miniseries,
That's right?
right. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
yes, yes, yes.
I still have not seen, because Mike Nichols, who's a
That's
fantastic
right.
director, he made The Graduate. I love him. He was actually one of the founders of improv comedy in the 60s with Elaine May, made the Catch-22 movie, which I still have not seen. Because I love the book so much that I don't want even to see the movie version because I think it's going to affect me. Yeah.
And I kind of wish I hadn't.
Yeah. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, if I hadn't read the book, I probably would have liked the movie, right?
Yes. That's, I feel the same way, yeah.
Okay, so romance novels, soapbox and recommendation. Mm-hmm. So I want to just plug the fact that romance novels are very diverse on two fronts. They are diverse in the sort of sub-genres. So there's a great site. I mean, there's so many websites. I mentioned one earlier. There's another one called diverseromance.com. And this just gets at the diverse genres. So there's historical, there's erotic, there's clean, mm-hmm. inspirational, urban, LGBTQ, sports theme romances, like serial killer suspense kind of romances.
Zombie romances.
Absolutely. Yep. So they are, it's a very, it's diverse in its range of subgenres. And there are more and more diverse writers writing them. So I want to mention, because you and Deb were talking about Black History Month, mm-hmm. There are many, many great African-American romance writers out there. And if you have not read any and you're looking for one to start with, probably the most well-known is Beverly Jenkins. And mm-hmm. she's kind of the mother of African-American romance writers. What I love about her is her range. So she's really well-known for her historical romance novels. I would suggest Indigo as a great one to start. And it's set with a freed slave and an escape slave in the Underground Railroad, and it's, you know, really difficult for a white author, probably shouldn't generally try it, to write African-American romance characters set during the Civil War, and Beverly Jenkins does it really, really well. Mm-hmm. She's also got great range, so she also has written about sort of modern set women who's like, you know, there's one, I think she wrote one where like this African-American businesswoman like buys a whole town and she's like this power magnet and then of course has a romance. So many, many diverse authors out there. Our staff can point you in to some great ones. And if you haven't read any African-American romance authors, I would start with Beverly Jenkins.
Awesome. Not a African-American romance author, but a romance by a great African-American author, If Beale Street Could Talk, by James Baldwin.
Yes.
Which
I haven't
not
seen
read.
Yet.
I haven't read it, but I've seen the movie. It's terrific.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've heard great things.
Yeah, it's good. Is it
my
turn again?
It's your turn.
Okay, cool. So my grad school roommate was in comparative literature with a focus on Eastern European literature, and I got exposed to a bunch of really great, pretentious Eastern European authors through him, one of which was Milan Kundera. So I'm going to recommend The Unbearable Lightness of Being,
yes.
which is another great kind of ambivalent, not a necessarily a happy ending romance. It's also very like esoteric and cerebral and philosophical, but it's also got this great romantic story about this couple that escapes the Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia in the 60s, and then she gets homesick and goes back to Prague, and he loves her so much that he gives up freedom, basically, and follows her back to Soviet-occupied Czechoslovakia. So it's a great story.
It's a great
and it
book.
Makes you think, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was also made into a movie.
Yes.
Which
yeah.
I don't think the movie was terrible. Was
that movie
it?
Was supposed to, I think, what is that, Jeremy Irons?
Like, yeah,
that was
Jeremy
one of his
Irons,
first,
yeah.
like, big roles. Yeah, and yeah. Catherine Deneuve, I think.
I don't know.
I haven't seen the movie.
Okay.
This is one I've seen, like, the first 15 minutes of it, and I said, yeah, I'm good. I like the book better.
Okay, so the last book that I have to recommend is one of my favorites. It's been out for a while. This is what we would call backlist. And I don't know that this is a romance novel, but it's got a subplot. The book is called The Romance Reader, and it's by an author named Pearl Abrahams, or Abraham. And it is more of a literary novel, but it is, the main character is a young woman. She's the daughter of a rabbi in a Hasidic community.
Mm-hmm.
And she is sort of struggling with her life and thinking about the arranged marriage, and her father is a rabbi, and he's trying to like build a new synagogue and community and all of this. So she's expected to live her life in a very certain way and come into marriage in a very certain way. And she's sort of wrestling with all of that, and she finds romance novels, and she starts sort of clandestinely,
nice.
Without her parents knowing, reading romance novels, and that opens up this whole world to her and sort of challenge her and makes her think about what she's supposed to do, what she could do. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. I didn't check to see if we have it in our collection. I bet we do. But it's called The Romance Reader by Pearl Abraham. And again, I started with kudos to my staff, a plug for them too. Whatever you like to read, whether it's sci-fi or horror or romance, we do have some pretty serious romance readers on staff. Check out our catalog, talk to them. We can help you find whatever you feel like reading. No shame.
Awesome, including DVDs like The Unbearable Lightness of Being, which has Juliette Binoche, not Catherine Deneuve. Different
yes.
generation, Juliette Binoche.
There you go.
And also not Jeremy Irons either, Daniel Day-Lewis. That was his.
Oh,
that was his first
pick.
I know, right? Yeah, we got both of them wrong. I didn't even notice that until now. Anyway, the book is better, so read that instead. Talking Books with Susan Brown, as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you.